TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL.
Always fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Well, Patrick, just another slow beginning to a week.
That's right. You know whose comb over is looking even worse with a mask on?
Dibs.
The bad comb over really looks bad. It draws attention to the comb over when he's wearing the mask.
Wasn't
right?
It great to hear him last night, though?
Mm-hmm.
You could hear the bellowing again. I miss that,
especially in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the defense.
When they were letting our boys back in the game.
Oh, I love it.
They did a great job on Beasley, but you can't let Cat shoot threes. Cat is their best 3-point shooter, one of the best in the league. I got to tell you the truth. I watched the game, and then went in and saw the bride, and she was watching TV. And I said, "Let's find something to watch." So we watched three 50-minute shows of some series from Wales or someplace. It was a pretty good murder thing. Never paid attention to my phone or anything. All of a sudden, I get a text from my son in Hawaii saying, "Is this really Ryan Saunders' fault that they fired him?" And this is like 11:45 or something before I found out they'd done it. So they let him do his Zoom conference.
Yes.
Talk about the game.
Yes.
And Gerson was on site, I take it, and went and talked to him in the office and told him he was done. Is that what
you know that?
Did?
I don't know.
He had to be on site, right?
I would guess, but I don't know that for sure. But yeah, so he did the Zoom post game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe Adrian Wojnarowski broke it. I probably got the text from Declan about his tweet an hour after the game.
Mm-hmm. Woj and the guy from the Athletic were both
broke,
on that.
He broke the Toronto assistant being hired as the coach.
Finch, okay.
The Finch part he broke.
Chris Finch. And, you know, one of the great parts of this is when you look up Chris Finch, you get the guy from The Office. The ranting sexist buddy of Ricky Gervais in the original
Office, which
Office
is great.
It's much better
that.
Than our
I love
one.
That show.
But Chris Finch is like this outrageously sexist human being. When you look up, you got to say basketball, else you get this guy.
Hold on, I got to Google Chris Finch.
Yeah, if you call Chris Finch, this guy will show up. Maybe today it might pop up the other way because the coach got the air, but Chris Finch will be. Last night when I first typed it into Google, I got the wow, they hired that guy from the Ricky Gervais version of The Office.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He's Finchy, they call him. Finchy is.
There he is.
Finchy's raving sexist on there and who entertains greatly. I got to tell you, folks, if you like the U.S. version of The Office, you might not like the British one, because the British one, the humor is much more uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, and Gervais is fantastic.
Gervais is great.
He's not lovable, though.
David Brent is not real lovable. No, there's no.
Carell's character was a lovable doofus.
Yes. See,
David Brent is jackass.
Yes, he
but
is.
But he's great at it.
And his best buddy, Finchy, is like stuff that you could never get away with.
Yes.
I saw one today, the clip of asking the secretary to kiss him on his nose, and then it was inappropriate to say the least, and it would never get you'd never get away with it in the U.S. Some of their humor, anyway.
I mean
Ryan, you know, this could have been time end of the season. You knew he wasn't going to be back next year. It's fine. I just think it's stupid that they made him get on a plane and go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy it that it was just Friday that they decided that they were going to make this move. I think they've probably been talking to this guy for a week to see if
this
he wanted
Gerson's
to leave.
This is Gerson's guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right, if he wanted to leave. They've known they were going to fire him for a while. And, you know, Saturday, Friday night, you don't have to do it Friday night. You call him up Saturday morning, have a 10 o'clock press conference where you announce that he's gone, and if he wants to show up, fine, or if he wants to go on Zoom and talk, which he probably would, fine, and then fly out there and have somebody coach, right? Because if Finch isn't ready to be on the scene, if the details aren't finalized, have Vanderpool coach. And obviously, the way Doogie's talking about it, and Doogie's pretty well wired in with the Timberwolves, always has been. They might not have wanted Vanderbilt to coach. Now, Doogie didn't say this, but that's my assumption. That they might, he's saying that he didn't want Vanderbilt to pull the coach that one game, right? One reason is, I think it would draw more attention to the fact that the number one assistant is a black guy and he's not getting the job. So when you slap the interim title on him for one game, that just draws more attention. Lillard was already ripping him for not hiring Vanderpool. So that probably was the reason. So,
but this franchise, again, to your point, even when they do the right thing, I mean, because the timing is the timing's bizarre. Why not wait till the All-Star break?
That
would have been seamless.
That too. And the odds probably won't change of keeping your draft choice, right? I mean, you can't get better than 40%, right?
Yes, I think that's correct, yeah.
And I think the bottom three all get 40% or something. The odds of you getting out of the bottom three aren't real good either way. But, you know, so what if you end up 12-44.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, what is, did they think that this guy's, they can introduce his system?
But there's no time. There's no time to do that.
No.
Like, there's no practice time.
No, that's true.
So he's not going to come in and institute his basketball beliefs. It's going to take till next season.
I do think that Cat, this whole idea that we have to bow down to the altar of Cat to make sure he's happy, and some people think that's one of the big reasons they make the move now, that Cat wants a better system and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's true or not. But Cat is, he was wonderful in the fourth quarter last night because he cared. He wanted to beat Tibbs, right? He wanted to beat Tibbs. He was blocking shots. He was going out. He was aggressive every moment.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see that nearly often enough. Well, we don't see it when he's not playing either. But this, you know, if that was Cat, I'd say, yes, build the team around him. But if that was Cat 60% of the time, I'd say build the team around him. But it's not. I just don't see bowing down to all, oh, we got to do this to make, to keep Cat here.
Mm-hmm.
If Cat's going to be a pain in the ass and wants to leave, I wouldn't have any trouble trading him. So
I think the thing with Cat, too, is at some point in time, you had to look at, 7-24? And you had to say that Gerson, now I'm surprised it's now, but that Gerson had to get his guy here.
He
had to get somebody. There is no way. I don't care how much I read. There is no way on God's green earth that in May of 2019, Gerson went to Glenn and said, "You know what, Glenn?
Yeah,
Ryan's my guy."
No, Ryan was.
You know, I mean, that's the one thing he was clearly told. You're keeping Ryan.
Glenn was Glenn was not going to move off that when they named him. When they named him to replace Tibbs, they couldn't say, we think this is a great young man, and then only give him 42 games.
Right.
I'm surprised he lasted through last season, that he came back for this year, weren't you? I think the pandemic had a lot to do with
that. Oh, I think it did, yeah.
Yeah, that saved
definitely
him. I mean, if they would have ended up last year, what were they headed for, 20-62, something like that, he would have gotten fired.
He might have been fired after the season.
But it was such a mess, and they didn't know. No sense in firing somebody, bringing in a high-priced coach if you don't even know you're going to play or not this year, right?
Right. So. And Glenn is again paying two guys. It's unbelievable.
I don't think he's paying Ryan much.
Well, he probably didn't, but he's still paying a guy during a pandemic with no fans. Like, he still has to pay him something to go away.
Yeah, he does. And this guy's been floating around. I don't know if he's a hot commodity in the coaching business or not, as far as other teams have been trying to hire him, or because he's supposed to be this offensive savant. So yes, we'll find out. You know, he was, as I saw on his wiki page, he was in 1999 the British Basketball League Coach of the Year with the Sheffield Sharks, who before that used to be, when he played with them, they were the Sheffield Forgers, but they changed their name to Sharks. But I think the Forger is based on as a steel town, not, now, you know, you're forging steel.
Why'd you change that name? That's a
great, I don't know. It's a great name. I like because that I name. Think I think maybe the, our version of what forging is over
that's
here.
That's even better.
Yeah, right. So anyway, he spent, you know, he basically established himself in Europe before he came over here, coached a lot, and he played in Europe and then coached in Europe. So who knows? Might be fine. I don't know anything about him, but
yeah,
I looked this up just for giggles this morning, and Ryan Saunders is the 13th head coach with the Timberwolves to coach more than 82 games, you know, 82 or more games. So yep. Sam Mitchell coached one full season. I consider him a full-time coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
13 coaches, 82 or more, one season. Ryan Saunders is Saunders' winning percentage, 314.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Seventh in Timberwolves history. There's six guys.
Jimmy Rogers.
There's six
what
guys.
What did Jimmy Rogers
192.
Have? That's my favorite.
192.
That's what I knew things might go wrong.
Yeah, well, they fired Mussey for trying to win.
Yes.
That stopped trying to win, and boy, you solved that problem. Jimmy solved that too many wins problem for you.
Oh.
192. You know who's his number one rival? Rambus.
Oh, sure.
Rambus is like 230, or maybe he's under 200.
How do you do 192? That's damn near impossible.
It's 192.
Like, you think you would accidentally trip into wins?
Well, the first four guys are all lower than, you know, Mus, as much as he tried, was 311. But
yeah. You
got to realize that the NBA is the league that completely screws expansion teams.
Yes.
They don't. They want.
I like that.
We're going to give you a franchise,
yep,
but we're going to make sure you stink.
Where my guy, right? Bettman tells you.
And the only. And Orlando beat that by getting Shaq, you know,
yes,
by winning. But
yes.
But the expansion draft, what they make available to you is crap. And then the Timberwolves drafted 10th in the first draft.
That was Pooh when they took Pooh. That's right.
Pooh. And they.
You know, I never thought about that. That's a. Yeah.
Yeah, the 10th instead of like.
Second or third.
Yeah, or let you get in the lottery and get.
Yeah.
That was the highest you could draft, 10.
Wow.
And then I think Orlando was 11th. And they basically try to guarantee you you're rotten. And I said this too. Here's the other thing about the NBA. You're either really good or you're bad. You know, because
yep,
all other leagues, NHL, mm-hmm, baseball, Twins maybe not, but baseball and NFL, if you make the playoffs, you can create a scenario where you have a chance, right?
Yeah.
NBA, there is none. There's
right,
like two, three
you're
teams.
You're going to lose.
There's from two, three yep, teams from each conference. I mean, the Timberwolves won 47 games and they played Houston,
mm-hmm,
and it was a triumph that they won one. Here, right?
Correct.
I mean, they didn't get swept. Hey, let's have a parade.
Right.
You know, so
great progress.
So the NBA is a completely different animal, and it's, you know, in no other league would you have winning percentages like this, but still, 314 shouldn't be seventh best among 13 coaches.
Jimmy Rogers was 21-90 in 111 games over two seasons.
And then when we fire him and give Sidney Lowe the job, right?
Yeah. I think that's
poor Sidney.
Yeah, I think it was. Yes.
Poor Sidney had no chance. And then who was fourth?
These records are just outstanding.
Who was fourth? Flip. Who came?
Hold on a second. I'm looking. I think it was Flip. It was
No. It was Mussey, Rogers, Sidney.
So Flip came in 96.
Yeah, but who? Oh, my guy, Bill Blair.
Oh, that's right.
Bill Blair, 95.
You're right.
Salty
you're right.
Sea
I'm sorry.
Captain.
Yes, who went 27-75 Over 2 years in 102 games.
Yes, and he had to coach Leitner and Ryder.
Well, the J.R. Ryder story that you tell with Jim Caples, one of my favorites.
J.R. Ryder is a piece of...
give me one quote for this feature I'm doing on J.R. Ryder. I just want to say, I don't care what it is.
That was opening night.
Oh, God, that's so Timberwolves.
Opening night of his second season, but he knew that he was going to get fired.
Yeah.
Because Kevin was going to bring in... Kevin had already brought in Flip as general manager.
I remember.
And Bill Blair knew 100% he was going to get fired, so he didn't give a damn what he said. I love that guy. In fact, I listed my all-time favorite Timberwolves coaches. This is based on guys, okay?
Yes. Yep.
That I enjoyed for various reasons.
Okay.
Must, number one, of course.
Yes.
How can you beat insanity, you know? I mean, committed insanity, a guy who gets called up to the office and told, you have to play Gerald Glass, and they come back down. And the next, and that night, Gerald Glass plays 0 minutes. And then he calls out the owners at his post-game press conference.
Oh, God.
When one of the owners is sitting here. So you got to love that.
Mm-hmm.
I had Blair, too, because of one reason being the J.R. Ryder quote, but just his general attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Just a hell of a guy. I had Flip third. Flip was great. I had Dwayne Casey was a really nice guy and good guy, and he'd answer a question.
And somewhat successful for Wolves coaches.
And Tibbs, because he was Musselman without personality.
Yeah.
But he was the same guy that we're going to try to win tonight. We don't care what anybody says, right?
Yep.
Yes. And I have brought back three old fallen down Bulls. And not counting Butler. And if I can get Yannick Noah, I'll do that.
Ain't it great?
Yes.
He's still got Taj.
Not Yannick. Yoka. Yeah, I get my... Yannick Noah was a tennis player, right? Yoakum Noah.
So. But ain't it grand? He's still got Derrick Rose playing substantial minutes.
How about Gibson going up and blocking that town shot?
Talk about a guy that knows his role in life perfectly.
Yes, yes.
Continues to execute it, Taj Gibson.
Well, Taj was going to quit, and then he said, we've got Tibbs back in the league. I ain't quitting now. I'm here. I'm riding Tibbs. You know, he got cut but right before the season started, but you know damn well.
Tibbs kept him on speed dial.
Go over and get an apartment in New Jersey. You'll be here in 2 weeks. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
And then he first came and he just played a couple of games.
I think if Tibbs hadn't had the executive title, I think if Tibbs had just been coach, it might have worked.
Well, that offense they were playing last night in the second half was unbelievable. I think they took 1-3 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, what were the three-pointers?
Well, they were 6-4.
Like 18, right? I think they took 18 and the Wolves took 30-something?
I think they were 4-for-12 and then 1-for-6, something like that. They only took 6 in the second half. Maybe they took more.
The Knicks were 6-for-18 for the game. The Wolves were 16-of-35.
Yeah, and I think they were 4-for-12 at the end of the half, first half. So I went through the play-by-play. I think they took 1-3 in the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
That's Tibbs.
It was great. Go to the basket, they'll foul you, shoot free throws. This Julius Randle and mm-hmm. Barrett just go slash into the basket. It is damn near unwatchable basketball, isn't it?
It's the basketball equivalent of what Zim does.
Yeah, it is.
Run
it
the foot. You know what?
It is.
I don't care that we're passing now. I want to run the football.
Except Zim is at least doing it with a dynamic guy. I mean,
with Dalvin?
Yeah. Tibbs' dynamic guy is like a 6'8 bully, you know, Randle. Okay, now he can shoot a little bit, but he'll bully you out of the way. And anyway, I don't know where they're headed.
Does it matter at this point?
No. It's, there's there's something there if people just don't, go nuts and do something. I mean, it's McDaniel better than we thought he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Edwards is, you know, Edward, everybody says he's going to be a star. Well, he's not going to be a star if he shoots 38%. He's going to have to shoot 45% to be a star. But he's got some juice. And, you know, their guard plays, you know, whether it's Ricky trying to. Ricky was good last night, but Ricky, you know, Ricky's over the hill.
Yep.
And Russell could screw up a one-car parade. And so, yeah, I mean, they need guards. They need a point guard that's, I don't know how they're going to get out from under Russell.
Yeah, no, I think it might be impossible.
It is.
Who's going to want him?
I was talking about this today, though.
And that's on Gerson.
I made this observation earlier today. I was actually on with Rand Ball on whatever he's calling his daily dribble or what do we call it? Daily what? Daily delivery.
Daily delivery, yeah.
The Star Tribune's morning block. But it's amazing how great you can become with low expectations. Wiggy in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently showing a little more energy on defense than he did here. But beyond that, pretty much the same guy.
Sure.
Yeah, but now it's like he makes one big shot a game and he came through in the clutch.
And they're good enough to get past his
statistics. And I saw something, I don't think they use the Fleck word elite, but they use something like that. Saw a headline on a story from out there. Wiggins becoming elite defender. I'll see that when I believe it. Oh, or I believe that when I see it either way.
Yes.
What the hell? But
he's on
I'm
a good team, and so yeah, it's and not he, as glaring.
And, you know, guards, he runs out and holds his hands up. That was great last night with Tibbs, too, by the way, that one. They're trying to make the defensive stand, and he's over there with his hands up.
Oh, he's just a great. I love it.
Put your hands up.
If he could take the court in the second half and play defense, he would.
Yes.
He would come off the bench in shorts and play defense.
And this has to make him so happy because for now he's got guys listening to him, and they are playing defense, right?
I also think
he couldn't have any impact.
I also think that for him, he's in a damn near perfect town. I think that's a perfect place. Because that team's been a disaster now.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But nobody's going to get upset when he's constantly dropping F-bombs.
No.
Nobody's going to say, you yell too much.
And
it's New York. They're not going to care about that. They're going to like that.
I heard a highlight from the Knicks broadcast where they were with the Knicks broadcasters on, and they were saying, boy, with this Knicks team, we're going to have fans in here. They're going to let 2,000 fans in for the next three. You know, they can start letting 2,000 fans in. And I said, people like this new Knicks team so bad, so much, it's going to sound like 18,000 in here. I said, they're not 500.
No, that's how bad they've been.
Yeah, I mean, well, last year
it's
they
a testament to how crappy the organization's
last
been.
Last year they won fewer than the Wolves. I think they won 15.
Yeah, they were off. 15, they've 16, been off.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah, they are incredibly poorly run.
But it's anyway. So my theory, I just did this to agitate people that they didn't want the new coach to start off by losing to the Tibbs. They thought that'd be a bad.
Gerson didn't want to have.
Mm-hmm.
His guy lose?
What, with what's happening in sports in general, when this pandemic's over, trying to sell tickets and everything, boy, I wonder what kind of shape they're going to be in. I don't know where they're, I mean, they.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, the Wild will have their fans.
Right.
And you know, because they're going to make the playoffs and lose in the first round, and people will be excited about Kaprizov or somebody. And the Twins will be okay, and the Vikings will be the Vikings, and the soccer will be
fine. They've got their own audience.
I think these guys are – they aren't leaving, but they are – boy, they're going to be an afterthought. Oof.
I think within the next 5 years, there's going to at least be a story brewing that they might have to leave.
Yeah.
Because I just don't see how it works.
No.
This town is not – big enough in the current economic climate to support the amount of teams, including the Gophers that we have here.
Yeah, I mean, how many, you know, team? We are a full service pro, you know, place, pro service market, and with a Big Ten, you know, with a Power Five. There's not too many of those. So they have a Power Five right in the middle of us. So I don't know. I think Gopher Hoops is, you know, what? How do they come back from this?
Did you watch
with people? Yes,
on Saturday.
Some of it. That was brutal.
Oh,
it was just a layup drill.
Yeah, they got run out of their own building.
And you know, you got to give Robbins credit for trying and playing some, but man,
oh, yeah,
man.
But you can't look. That team can't look that bad.
Worst loss. I wonder who that coach was in 1906. How do you get beat by 31 in 1906?
I'll tell you
when
what.
The winning scores were usually 32-26.
I don't know who coached that team, but Sid defended him the next day. Sid defended him.
Yes, he did.
All you geniuses think you could have lost by 25.
Somebody had a Twitter response to the to me today about it's just too bad Sid is not around for the press conference introducing Chris Finch, who's replacing his guy Ryan.
Yep.
And I said it would be the greatest Timberwolves media moment until Sid and Jack McCloskey were threatening duking each other out as Isaiah Ryder was sitting there being introduced as the new number
Chaney.
One draft.
He should have taken Chaney.
Down to Chaney. McCloskey finally said, I'm going to punch you. He was, you know, and Ryder, who, you know, comes from goofy circuit.
Yes.
Ryder,
rough upbringing.
Ryder has seen some goofy stuff in his day.
Yep.
And he's sitting up there with his eyes, and he's looking back and forth, and these two guys are screaming at each other.
Both what?
He came to town to say, hey, JR, yep. Good to see you. And they're screaming at each other.
He was late for his own press conference,
right? Oh, yeah,
right?
He missed the...
That's where Sid started on Calvert Chain. He wouldn't be late.
Yeah, he missed the flight. He missed it because they were going to have it like at noon or 1 in the afternoon, and they postponed it to late at night, something like that. And JR said that there was horrible traffic on the Bay Bridge, and that's because there'd been an accident. Well, there's always horrible traffic on the Bay Bridge, right, to get to the San Francisco airport. But I called out there to some traffic, you know, people and said, well, anything unusual on the Bay Bridge this morning? No, same normal as all. So he didn't get out of bed, you know. But Sid screaming at him. Sid's two greatest moments were that and Pete Carroll and Denny Green.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, when he's threatening Roger Hendrick as Denny's sitting up there.
That was a bad run for Sid right there.
Oh, man, yeah. He wanted Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was his guy.
Yeah, because he wanted Pete to get the Vikings job. And then, if I recall correctly, that was right around the same time that he wanted Jerry Noyce to get the Gophers AD job.
Yeah.
And it went to McKinley Boston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad run for Sid. He was not happy.
Mm-hmm. Sid was not woke.
No, that would be
not
the,
at that
what's
point
the opposite
he was
of
not,
woke.
Yeah, at that point, he wasn't woke, but it would be fun to have him at a press conference introducing. Of course, you won't have one now, but he would be very upset at young Ryan getting fired.
I don't know that if this was 20 years ago and the circumstances were the same, Patrick, I don't know that they pulled the plug on Ryan when they did, based partially on Sid. I think they still fire him, but I don't know that they would have been afraid of the fallout of that press conference.
Yes, because when McHale fired Flip, Sid wasn't happy, but he balanced that with his relationship with McHale. You know, he couldn't.
Right.
If he was going to savage the Timberwolves, he was going to, then he had to be savaging McHale, and he didn't want to do that. So I think he was closer to Flip than he was McHale. But
but he didn't want to lose McHale.
But he didn't want to lose McHale. So that was a tough situation.
This one wouldn't be so tough for him.
No, this one would be Chris. Who the hell is this guy? You know, Ryan would.
You think this genius is going to win more games?
He would get Ryan on. He would get Ryan on the Sunday show anytime he wanted to. And does he think Chris Finch is going to come and be a, hey,
and that played a big role. That would play a large role.
Yeah, that's true. Anyhow, that was, I would get, I think it came out of nowhere just because of the timing, right?
Yes.
Not because we're anybody surprised. So
the timing and the fact that the replacement was essentially done, I think, are the two things that were surprising.
And I think, as you know, you've contributed to the website here for quite a while, and that you know, we don't quite go, you're about all we got left now, cranking stuff out on it. But it has amazed me that while the Timberwolves have a very small audience, mm-hmm. their TV ratings stink. Mm-hmm. Last year they were 30th in NBA attendance. Whatever base there is, there's a lot of conversation and different, you know, opinions, and the guys who think they're experts, and that it can stir up.
And the bloggers, there's a lot of Wolves bloggers. I mean,
if you write something about the Wild suck,
no one cares.
20 people are going to respond. They're going to, you know.
Yes.
As long as Russo doesn't tell them that, they're fine. But with the Wolves, you can get, you know, you can get people very defensive, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, they got on me the other day because I said, the other night, I said, Anthony Edwards is trending. Apparently, it's for a dunk and not going 3-for-14 from the field and 0-for-7 on threes.
Yeah, I saw your tweet.
Old man, get off cloud. And the old, you know, like, I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy the dunk. That's fine.
Yes.
It was a dunk, but to say that this dunk negates
the night of,
night of breaking rims is, I had no idea people were so that certain hardcore group that reads the bloggers and stuff was
they're very passionate.
They were very upset.
And they like that stuff.
And they want to get on the Anthony Edwards bandwagon, and we'll see if he can, you know. You still got to make shots, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have been a client of the Canopy Group for 5 years, and at my last renewal, they are still saving me money. Patrick Ricey here to talk to you about your home and auto insurance. How long have you been with your current insurance company? When was the last time your agent called you and said they could save you money and get you better coverage? This just happened to me. Truly, it did. Each year, the Canopy Group reviews my home and auto insurance with their 16 companies. This year, they saved me an additional $791. How? Because the Canopy Group is keeping an eye on my insurance needs and making sure I am always with the right insurance provider. Paying less and getting more is a concept I like. I can't promise that you'll save $791, but I can promise you they'll give you options. They'll even tell you if you should stay where you are with that company. Do what I did and contact them at thecanopygroup.com. That's thecanopygroup.com. He had back-to-back games where he was 7-for-29. That's worth mentioning, right?
It's weird because, Pat, the Wolves on the court stuff is stuff people don't care about. The NBA off the court speculation, people love it.
Yeah, it is incredible. You're right. It's because they hurt everybody. That's the difference. You know, you can trade the fourth best player on a hockey team
Right.
But you trade one on a basketball team, damn near any basketball team. By the way, I watched some of Zion, and they came back and had a big win.
Yeah.
He could stand to lose about 20.
Again?
He looks a little puffy.
I thought he lost like 20 after last season.
Yeah, he looks like he should lose 20 more. He looks a little slow
I'm in no shape to talk about
I'm
this,
not
by
either.
The way.
Slow
literally
and puffy.
In no shape.
You know, as I pointed out, Sharkman and I have lost 25 pounds between us during the pandemic. He lost 40, I gained 15. So, you know, but, you know, I'm not one to get on anybody about weight, but I think that's a myth. He was a Duke-created myth, Zion Williams.
You think so?
He's okay. He's not great.
But he is a big, I mean, he's a big dude.
He is. He's a powerful guy, but I don't know. Anyway.
All right, so twins start full squad workouts Tuesday, right?
Is it Tuesday? Yes, it is.
And now you can go to Florida.
I think Tuesday, yes. Now that I'm a vaccinated person, I can get out of here. But I think, is it tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Tuesday, tomorrow.
I think the reporters can finally get on the grounds, right? Because to this point, they
haven't
been.
Has that been the deal so far?
They haven't been able to be on the grounds yet.
Okay.
But you got to be tested in some manner to
before you go in.
But I don't know if it's just the old
But I bet you can't get near the players.
No, not yet.
I bet
yet.
You can go work from the press box.
There was some talk about, I don't know if it's ready yet, about like dugout, down by the dugout, standing away from somebody.
Yeah.
But not, you know, not with a big crowd around a guy. I think they're still trying to figure it out. And we're only down to about five guys who haven't made it yet, including my guy Andrew Albers, who still can't get out of Saskatoon, apparently, because of the work visa. Duffy made it
from Texas.
Out of Texas. Yeah, we had a couple of Texas guys who couldn't get out because of the storm down there. Armageddon that basically hit down there. But I think they've done enough to make you somewhat optimistic. I don't think they're as good as the White Sox, but I think they've done enough. I wouldn't be stunned if they bring in Odorizzi.
I wouldn't be stunned.
If he doesn't find a deal, years, 24.
Man, has that guy's timing sucks.
It's terrible.
How bad has his timing been? Well, two consecutive years.
Yeah, well, he took the 17, figuring that veteran pitchers would be treated like they had been in the past, and then they all got... He probably would have gotten 3 for $50 for 3 years.
Which he easily should have taken now, in retrospect. Yeah,
but nobody offered that to him last year because he took the 17. He took the qualifying offer because
I'm saying in retrospect now, you'd never go back and repeat that mistake because it looked smart at the time.
What?
To take the offer looked smart. It ended up being an awful
timing.
He'd
seen guys like Lance Lynn waiting to get a deal in February and March and guys like that.
Qualifying offer was attached.
And then he only gets 38% of it. And now this year, he's trying to make up for what he didn't get last year.
I don't think he's going to at this point, do you?
No. And he was terrible, too. He was terrible, and then he was good. And then he was... Last year he got hurt, and it's hard to say he was that good last year. Yeah. So he's not a 3-year $50 million pitcher. He's a 2-year $24 million pitcher, or 2-year $20 million pitcher.
And that poor guy.
Yeah, it is. Really good guy. It's not like he and I sit down and talk.
No,
a
it's
lot,
a sharp,
but
very sharp.
I've had some conversations with him, and he'll answer a question and give you. He's not trying to give you an answer that will get you to walk away. He's trying to tell you something. Tell you something, yeah. So,
what's going to be the reaction here when Kirilloff starts the season in St. Paul for at least 15 days?
I don't think so.
No, you don't?
No, I think.
I'm not sure I trust them.
I don't think they're going to try to pull the 2-month thing. You got to keep him there for 2 months.
Oh, I thought it was like 18 days.
No, it's the Super 2 is you got to damn near let him play till June.
I thought I read in the Sunday Strip in that thing that it was like 18 days. I can find it.
I don't think so.
Because you know what I got, Patrick? I got my sports sections, okay?
Okay.
I carry my sports sections.
Well, in the past, if you wanted to make sure a guy avoided Super 2 status, maybe Super 2 status.
Well, if it's 2 months, the reaction's not going to be good if you do that.
No, I don't think they'll do it. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't know how much they're worried about money right now. Hey, we ought to tell people about our loyal sponsor. This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush, and EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike-friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. ecofun.com. That's ECOFUN, motorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Racy Unchained.
Okay. Look, from what Lavelle wrote in Sunday or in today's paper, if the Twins wait 15 games before calling him up, they would keep control of Kirilloff for an extra season.
Oh, that's for free agency. Service. That's not for Super 2.
Right. For that's service for, time purposes, for free.
That's yes. for free agency.
So you get the extra year.
Although there's a very good chance, there's also a very good chance that's going to be negotiated out mm-hmm. when they're fighting next year. So, okay.
That's what I was talking about.
I guess that could happen. I don't know. I don't think it would take long to get sick of seeing Louis arise in left field.
No, I think you're right about that.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you could have Rooker play there for that's.
But it would embolden the cheap Polad people. They would be thrilled to declare how cheap the Polads are.
So I wrote the piece about Dozier and Plouffe and these guys that are 31, 32. Another one of those is Ian Desmond. He doesn't have a job, right? Those guys who a couple, 3 years
opted
ago.
Out again. Yes. Yeah.
The point being, you know, they look, and if you're in decline and you're 32,
mm-hmm.
you're done. You know, mm-hmm. It's not, and it used to be, they would say, you had a bad year, you know. But now you got 20 guys doing analytics on everything. They're looking at your urine and bowel movements to see if there's something wrong with
bowel
you.
Bowel movements are important, okay?
Yeah, right.
You learn a lot.
I mean, they're doing everything. They got a fecal specialist, for goodness sakes. And, you know, I mean...
That might be the worst job in baseball.
Yes. They're doing everything.
I'd rather be the pee person.
They're doing everything. And if they... Like Dozier probably could have gotten... 3 for 35 or 40 from him in the spring of 18.
Yep.
And after watching him for 2 months, they knew they were going to trade him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because he wanted more. And Plouffe, you know, said, you know, he just had a couple. He said, I wasn't any good anymore. You know, at 32, he was, but he would have still been around.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, there was like 28, 29, 30. He was pretty good for the Twins. He had a year there where he was, but he didn't have the high on base and he was going downhill and he couldn't get the bat to the ball anymore. They're not hanging around. They don't get spots on the 40 man anymore. They can get invited to spring training. Same thing with Denard Span last year.
Yep.
They didn't, you know, he wouldn't go to a minor league camp. He could have gotten a minor league camp and tried to make the team, but he didn't want to do it. And then, so I'm looking at the comments and it's all, oh, I'm supposed to feel sorry for these guys. That's more money. That's not the point. Nobody is crying about these guys not having enough money. We are pointing out that they would still like to be playing, not necessarily to be making $8 million, but to still be playing baseball at an age that 6, 7, 8 years ago, the guys who had their careers were still playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a Dozier was still playing at 33 or 4.
Who, absolutely, yes.
A guy who hit
sure.
42 home runs as a second baseman was still playing.
Yes.
You know, and these people, and it goes on forever, comparing the fact... I never make that much money. Well, no crap. You get up and you go to the gas station and you put a catalytic converter back on the car after it got stolen. You're not going to make as much money as a Major League Baseball player who attracts people to come and watch. We don't watch you change oil, you morons. They don't watch me write. You don't come and watch me write and say, wow, can I get a ticket to see that? You know, that's driven me crazy for my whole life that somehow you deserve for what you do to make as much money as Dozier and Plouffe and these guys. No, you don't. You don't deserve that much money. I don't deserve that. But we don't deserve to be on the same level as them because they have a special talent and we don't. You dummies. Anyway.
The commenters drive you as crazy as your trolling drives them crazy. That's the great thing, the back and forth. Mm-hmm. Royce trolling the commenters, and the commenters basically trolling you back on your column.
And then Sunday I wrote about the Greg Nettles trade. You know, that I was, because I had something that fell through, so I had been talking about Nettles being the...
Yeah,
that's great. I said, I'll write this. So, but I started with Big Poppy being, you know, that this is number two to Big Poppy getting away.
Yeah.
And, of course, they see the Big Poppy in the headline and they start arguing about Big Poppy, which is not what the column's
They
about.
Don't read the column.
They do not so read not the read column. They the read column. The headline. I hate you people that do that. I think you're, as I said, heathens and commies that do that. But the other deal is, you know, somebody says, well, he sat around for 6 months before anybody signed him. How can that be a mistake? Well, two ways. He actually sat around from December 12th to January 22nd.
Yep. So
whatever that was.
Yep.
However many, or January, I think 5 weeks. And B, it can be a mistake because he went to Boston and hit 483 home runs. That and won three World Series. That can make it a mistake. Now, you wouldn't have kept him, probably. But
these people never read the column. Didn't even come close. They read the headline and then dropped right down to the comments.
Just getting 120, you know, getting three more years out of him if he started hitting. And then the other thing is, oh, Kelly wanted him to hit the ball the other way and dribble ground balls. No. But when the pitch was away, he wanted him to hit it hard to left center field instead of try to pull it to right center field, which he did by getting 200 doubles off the wall at Fenway. Okay. Tom Kelly never said, don't hit a home run. I want a single. Yeah. Ugh. I think baseball fans who are casual about it, mm-hmm. but opinionated, mm-hmm. are the dumbest.
The dumbest are just the most annoying.
Dumbest.
Okay.
Because they think they know something. They're the dumbest.
Rank the dumb casual fans for me. What's football, basketball, hockey, and baseball? Hockey's bad.
Yeah. The hardcores are all good. I mean, hardcore hockey guys are great, and the basketball, the possessed basketball fans are great, and football, I mean, it's all emotion. I don't even blame the stupidity on in football on just stupidity. I think it's just emotion. It's the game is just too important for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's self-worth is tied up in it.
It's every Sunday.
It's once a week, and I don't blame those people for being.
It's not their fault.
Outrageous. It's not their fault. But baseball, it's the guy who thinks he's an expert and doesn't know bleep is. There's more of those in baseball.
Yeah, probably.
I think, and the you know, the other one is it's a disgrace. What the cheap poleheads have done this offseason. Really? They've spent more money than I thought they were going to. They had $140 million payroll last year. I thought it'd be under 100.
The Kirilloff thing potentially could absolutely set that on fire.
Yes. And
see?
And by the way, it's not Jim Poland making that decision.
They don't care.
No, they don't care. But they want to say Jim Poland called up Falvey and said, you got to send him down to the minors. So does Jim Poland give a damn whether Kirilloff's a free agent after 6 or 7 years? No, he could care less.
Right.
You know, he doesn't. He could care less. But, you know, yeah, you're right, though. That'll set him off. I was thinking
that'd
when people were talking about it, I thought they were talking about the Super 2.
No, it's a 15 games to start for service time.
To, get
hey,
you.
I got one thing. You took to Twitter on Saturday and damn near got me killed. Since when do you do housework, like manual labor, where you know how bad that makes me look?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I thought we were buddies. We had a pact.
We had an 8x5 rug. So what's that weigh? 25? Maybe 25 pounds? What do you think, Declan?
If you two are the leading expert and home expert, I'm the third stooge.
This makes me mad.
Not terribly thick, right?
I'm the third stooge in this.
It was not terribly thick, but we got it. She got a new chair and ottoman for the office, right? And then I said, let's get rid of this fluffy rug. I hate this fluffy rug because when I spill, rugs. It's kind of yellowish, and when I spill a Diet Coke on it, you can see it. Let's get some. So we went out and got this rug, and then Saturday, I went out to the place and picked up the rug at the warehouse, and she was indisposed doing something, and I'd already moved the chair and the ottoman, which was a feat of strength for me, moving to the office without putting a big scratch in the floor.
I was going to say, didn't you? Dent the floor?
Or
a wall?
I brought in the pad, and then I brought in, and you would have had fun watching me wrestle with the rug to get it to fit on the pad. That was a contest. That was a battle, I want to tell you. And I finally got that, and then I got it back in place, and I was so proud of myself, I figured I should, because this, about 8 years ago, we had that big storm, and we didn't have power for 4 days, and the basement got flooded.
Yep.
So I did a lot of stuff there. I mean, I was in a panic because it was going to ruin the house. And so I actually did stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's the only previous time I had done anything in 32 years.
Because you always
house.
Have a guy.
I do. There is, as I said, my philosophy is, there is always somebody who will do this for money.
Absolutely.
And right. And if this costs me $100, let's say, when I die, am I going to miss that $100?
And the answer is no.
No.
Especially if you've charged it and haven't paid the charges off yet, and they're forgiven by the credit card company because you're dead.
My whole point about getting somebody to do something is, okay, I might be wasting this money, right?
Yes.
But when I'm 84 and kick the bucket, am I going to miss this $110?
No.
I don't think
so. You'll be happy you spent it.
Yes, I will. I will be happy because I don't really care if I'm like my dad or not and leave $64.15 for the heirs, you know, because he had a good time. I just don't want to do stuff because I can't. I'm very, I can't
this
do
is
it.
What I, this is yes. I always, this is the Royce I know.
And generally speaking, I would have hired somebody, but the rug was sitting in the back of the car, and I said, I think I can get this inside, without getting anybody. I don't want to. You know, like Rook and Joe and the boys gave me a lot of heat because when I was in Fort Myers, we needed a new toilet seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hired somebody to put on a toilet seat.
I have no problem
with
that.
Which they figured was the worst thing of ever. I said, okay, I can maybe get down there and unscrew those things, but the whole process is going to take me an hour.
If your furnace or boiler isn't keeping up with the cold weather, call Bonfi. They have regular hours from 7 in the morning to 10 at night, and they answer the phone 24/7. If your heating system needs to be replaced, Bonfi can install a new one for you, and it comes with a lifetime warranty. You'll never have to worry about staying warm again. When you tell the folks at Bonfi you heard about them on The Royce Show, you'll save $200 off a new installation. For all your heating needs, better call Bonfi.
And it'll frustrate you because there'll be something that's frustrating.
I'll be laying, and then I'll have to get my fat ass up off my back and pull myself up, and I will have been under a toilet for an hour.
Yeah, that, no,
it's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it.
$75. Put the toilet. Here's the toilet seat. Put it on there. Thank you. I'll see you again.
Exactly.
Yes. What's wrong with that? I don't see anything wrong with that.
I think that there is a motivational speaking opportunity to tell the world that it's okay not to do work.
Yes, it is. I mean, yeah, it just, especially when you have no talent for it.
Yes.
No talent.
And no patience.
Yes.
So then you start doing it and it gets frustrating. Far better to spend a little money.
I was proud this year because she got a bunch of new nursery stuff in the backyard, landscaping. And it was a dry summer. See, you got to keep it wet, right? It's going to die. A couple of the little trees did die off.
Yeah.
But you can't, I watered more.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 months, mm-hmm. than I had my entire life. Yeah.
But you felt good about that.
Well,
like you were doing something. See, that's the thing. Like, I do dishes, okay?
Yeah.
I'm really good at dishes. I have a talent.
Yeah. You don't, you didn't get the dishwasher yet, huh? You're the
dishwasher. No, we still don't have a dishwasher. Our dishwasher broke a few years back. And now I just, I do. But I'm fine with that because I have a talent for it. What I don't have a talent for is fixing anything.
I'm an excellent load the dishwasher guy.
Same.
I hate the
I'm very good at it.
The remove the dishwasher.
Yes.
That becomes a test of will.
With how long can
with
I
the
go?
Wife and I.
Yeah. Oh, to see,
to see
it?
Who.
Oh.
Find, to
John
see
never
who,
unloaded it.
See who finally has to look for something that they need.
You know what she does?
To cook with.
That drives me crazy. She'll do laundry and then not change it to the dryer. And so I'll go down to do my laundry.
It'll be wet.
And there'll be like from 2 days before she hasn't changed it.
Oh, that's.
And I keep saying, why don't you just go down?
Oh, like, I'm a fantastic washer and dryer.
I'm really good at it too.
But I'm not a good folder.
Yeah, not a good guess.
Oh, no reason to fold.
The
folding's overrated.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Basket. I've got a basket. Yeah. I just throw the clothes back in the basket and I don't put them away.
I am the probably one of the biggest crises, but I am paranoid about dirty clothes. You know, I don't wear nice clothes, but I wear.
But you want your clothes clean. Totally get that.
I went to Sydney Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to the Sydney Olympics. I was gone for 22 or 3 days, right?
Yep.
By the time. And I think I got my clothes out to laundry like once. I found this place and cost however many Aussie bucks it did.
Mm-hmm.
But I flew back, I think, with a stop in Hawaii, stop in L.A., stop in then Twin Cities. And all I could think of the whole way back is how many dirty clothes I had in this these two suitcases.
Yep.
And one big suitcase, I guess. And when I came home, I walked in, went downstairs and put a load in the washer. And then I went upstairs and said hello to the wife. Which she
totally understandable.
She held that over my head for
what do you mean?
Years.
You were doing the laundry.
Yes, I said.
You could have walked in and dropped it and said, "Honey, can you do the laundry?"
I said,
no.
Some of those shirts got food on them. I had to spray. I couldn't stand the idea of having this shirt that had.
No, I defend you.
Had Australian goulash on it or something. I had to do it. By the way, don't ever go to Australia. I mean, I liked it. The country's great. In the summer, man, they will guilt the hell out you about sunscreen. They're all they're announcing on this every place. Put on your sunscreen. Leave me alone. I'll put it on if I want to. You know, they're
they
very,
got no COVID now though. They've done a good job there.
Yeah, but they like
they're
shut
very concerned
everything
about
down.
Things.
Yeah, if they get 4 cases, they shut down the you know whole. The Australian Open they let the fans come in for 3 or 4 days.
And then they
days.
Got a few cases and they shut her down. Yep.
Speaking of tennis, Australian Open, I looked it up. Federer won his first Grand Slam, Wimbledon, 2003. Starting then, 70 Grand Slam events. Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic have won 58 of them.
Wow.
I don't think we've ever seen
We need
that.
More parity.
Yes, they definitely need
a little
need
more parity in tennis.
And it's amazing how they used to be when it was like there wasn't as much money in it. They used to be done by, you know, when Borg must have been 28, 30 when he quit.
Yeah.
Connors was like the old man.
I remember
who played
that.
Till he was well into his 30s. McEnroe and Borg both quit. Like, Federer's 39. I think he's cooked.
Mm-hmm.
But Nadal.
Yeah, and, Borg quit early.
Yeah. Nadal and, you know, Nadal and Djokovic are still the two best players in the world. It's incredible how dominant they've been. There was one stretch where they won like 23 in a row or something like that between the two or three of them. It's I watched the gal Osaka take care of Serena, and that's the only.
I guess that was a pretty good match.
Yeah, but she's too good for her. No, I mean Serena's now playing somebody who can hit the ball as hard as her.
Right.
So
is she done, Pat, or is she? What do you think?
I think she's going to hang it up, don't you? She wants
so.
To get
at
that.
At least she'll take a little step back or something.
She wants to get that win to tie Margaret Court, right?
Right. She's one away.
Especially Margaret Court's view of the mingling of races.
Yes.
Yes. So she's not woke.
No. A lot of people aren't woke.
She is not woke. Anyway.
All right.
Well, Ryan, what do you think? Next job? Nice little college someplace?
Or an assistant coach.
NBA could be
assistant
NBA
coach
assistant.
With a really good coach.
Nice little college someplace, maybe. You know.
Not the Gophers.
No, he's not getting that job. Who is getting that job?
Well, I think Pitino's not getting fired. Don't you?
Depends.
I don't think they're going to fire.
Not
in a pandemic.
Yeah, somebody will come up. Somebody will cut him a check for 1.7 to get rid of him, though.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't think it makes any. He'll probably get one more shot. Just to save the money, saved by the pandemic. But if they finish, they manage to lose to Northwestern or Nebraska and end up 8-12. I don't know.
Yeah, if they lose both the road games, because those aren't good teams, that's possible.
Yep. All right.
See you. Talk to you.
If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.